You're listening to The TP Cast,
the official podcast of Thomas Productions, Inc.
Here we discuss all of our latest videos, as well as other topics such as movies, gaming news, machinima, and so much more. So fasten your seatbelts, because it's time for The TP Cast. And now, here are your very gracious hosts, Lane, Kevin, and Kyle. Hello and welcome to another episode of the TP Cast. This one, not a year later this time, so that's awesome. That's always good.
It's only like a couple of weeks, maybe.
Maybe is correct, because we have some stuff that we haven't talked about in our last podcast. By the way, this is episode 78, if I haven't already said so. I am Lane.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Kevin.
And might I add that we are recording this a remote podcast, should I say semi remote podcast?
We're not filming on location yet.
We're not even filming.
No, we just happen to be somewhere different.
Yes, we're in a newly revitalized room. That has been in one or two videos, but not a whole lot.
We recorded a podcast in the garage here once.
Yes, and
so not the first time we've recorded here.
Also, I messed up your Skyrim game in this room.
Yeah, you did. So maybe you'll be seeing more of this soon, and you won't even know that it was the same one.
Yeah. So basically, this is your room.
Yeah. We sleep right over there.
Kyle and I renovated our room recently, and we decided this room is so awesome, we can do all kinds of stuff in here, including recording podcasts. So that's what we're doing.
And if you hear this, it's because we're all drinking hot chocolate.
You're welcome.
Hot chocolate in the summer, I don't think anything can be more idiotic and tasty at the same time.
You know, actually, something I learned, I don't know if it's true or not, but on an episode of Mad Men, someone had his kids drink hot chocolate on a hot day because it's apparently good for you to drink something hot on a hot day. I don't understand how that works, but
probably the same thing that, you know, eating hot sauce and stuff could help somehow on hot days. I don't know what I'm talking about anyway.
You know what, Lane, speaking of hot sauce, I'm very surprised that you like spicy things. I did not know that about you.
Fun fact. Okay, so let's get on to what we were all eager to talk about, and that is a whole bunch of E3 news. So, basically, Kevin has a handy-dandy list here of announcements and such that were made, and we can just go down that and tell everyone what we think.
First of all, I think it's worth noting that today we're recording this. Today is Wednesday, the 19th.
So Microsoft just made a 180 and changed some of their
controversial policies.
Yeah, so we'll
also
talk
about that. It's called Xbox DRM. I don't know exactly what
Digital Rights Management.
Okay, if you told you what it was, rights.
DRM is, it's not, you know, it's a common term. It's not just Microsoft.
Okay. Well, I don't know very many common terms. Okay, so if we want to talk about consoles first, and we've already started talking about the Xbox One, so obviously at first it didn't seem like such a great console with these policies, but now that they've reversed them, it seems a lot more up to par.
I wish that they would have lowered the price or even made the price of their games cheaper. Because if it was, like, you know, $40, you save so much money that it's actually worth it to get the One instead of the PS4, but they announced recently it's going to be $60 games as usual.
On Xbox and PS4.
I'm not really surprised about that that game price. I really, really didn't expect it to go down. But I'm glad that it didn't go up. Yeah, because that would have been
painful.
Yeah. Yeah, so for as far as the Xbox goes, when they first announced it, they had a whole bunch of different things. You had to be like pretty much always connected to the internet, and it could only be disconnected from the internet for 24 hours, I guess. And
used games.
You couldn't. That thing's still a little bit confusing, but the whole
it's gone now. You can do it. Between Kyle and I and Lane,
yeah,
we often share games.
Basically,
I can say that because it's not illegal.
Basically, it's you guys have bought games, and I wouldn't buy these games anyway. And they're just, you guys finish them, they're usually like single player games. And you say, hey, you can borrow this if you want.
Games like Mirror's Edge, which, news coming out of E3, there will be a sequel, and that's very exciting.
Hooray. So yeah, these are games that I wouldn't have bought anyway, but I'm glad that I did get to experience them. So, yeah, so it's good news that you can hand discs in, except I did find out that because of this whole switcheroo that Microsoft made, there is some downsides. And that's, unfortunately, the features that they announced, I could say features in quotes or not, either way. But these features that I was most looking forward to have sort of been put on the wayside by now and are not being incorporated at launch. And that is that you would be able to exchange your like games online with up to like 10 friends and family members. They've put that on hold.
I didn't understand that. What does that mean?
I think it's all because you mean like the whole concept or why they ditched it?
The concept of it, I don't understand.
The concept of it is, okay, I buy a game, Halo 5, which by the way, you know, hey, it's coming.
We're assuming it's Halo 5. I think the reason that they didn't
Kevin,
say...
we'll get to it.
Yeah, so I buy the disc, I pop it in my Xbox, and I immediately install it, and then, okay, great, it's on my account, I can take the disc, throw it in the fires of Mordor, and then, so I have it, it's tied to my account, but then I can select 10 people, 10 gamer tags, I assume, and then I can, like, say I want to play a different game for a little while, I don't want to play Halo 5, and I could say, hey, I'm not going to be playing this game for a little while, hey, you guys can play it. And so then you'll be able to play Halo 5 on your console when I'm not playing it.
With your disc?
Well, he threw his disc in the fires of Mordor.
Yeah, so it's all online. It knows that, you know, okay, I bought it, and these guys are on, you know, my list, so you can play it. But the thing is, like, if you are playing it, then I can't play it. So it's only, like, you know, one person at a time.
What about account gold sharing? Can we still do that?
I haven't heard anything about that. I would hope that that's still in, because if they really ditch that, they're kind of just back at square one, in my opinion, with a console that costs $100 more.
They also announced, and I assume this is not being thrown out, but 1,000 friends now.
Yeah, that's really helpful. I haven't encountered, you know, any need for more than 100 people. In the cases with specialty Xbox accounts that we use for convenience, such as the Fondre Lemon Man account and the Marlin account too. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, but that'll be nice to have. There was one other thing that I think they switched on us that we can't have anymore because of the disc thing. It was the 10 people playing, and then, oh yeah, I think it's if you go to a friend's house or something like that, you can't, if you've purchased your Xbox One game on a disc, you won't be able to just go over to their house and play it on their Xbox without a disc. You'll still have to bring your disc copy over. And that, I mean, that's nothing
new. It's not too bad, but
it's nothing new, but again, out of all the stuff that Microsoft had initially said, these two things that they've now eliminated were the things that I was looking forward to. And, you know, maybe the only two things. I don't know. But
sounds like you don't want the Xbox One, Lane.
I have to say, well, of course, you know, of course I'm going to get it. That's a moot point, of course, because it's got Halo 5 on it. But, you know, is it Halo 5? Yeah, it's Halo 5. So
we'll get to that.
Yeah, so I have to say I'm just sort of back at I don't know.
You don't need to wait, like, you don't need to get it immediately. I'm sure the price will drop after Christmas. You can get it then.
Yeah, I'm sort of in in sort of just like a neutral position right now. Like, I'm glad that Microsoft sort of listened to people who were saying all this stuff and upset about it, and rightfully so. I am glad that we can now play games offline. That is the one thing I'm very happy about from this. But, you know, the features that I was looking forward to were taken out, so it's kind of like, all right, let's
they also said that you're going to have a day one update.
I don't see that as a...
That's not a problem.
...a huge deal. That's just, like, the 360 when it needs an update or
so something. So, when we were on the topic of 1,000 friends, this reminded me... I said something about Destiny, but I want to say before we get to that, just in case I don't remember, but, they said it's, like... I don't know if there's a multiplayer or anything yet, a multiplayer mode, but you can play with a lot more than 16 people in one...
Yeah,
sitting, and I think that would be great for Machinima.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, you know.
As long as there's a theater mode or something.
Yeah, knock on, you know, hey, we have a wooden table here, knock on wood, that there's a theater mode in Destiny.
I assume there will be, because that's really awesome. Why would they take it out?
Although, yeah, Destiny is a very ambitious game, and if we can, if what they have advertised is to be believed, it's going to be a very, very expansive play area.
I think the Xbox One can handle it. I don't know about the 360, though. So let's hope. Fingers crossed.
Fingers are being crossed in the room, since there's lack of cameras to show it. Alright, Kevin, what do we have next?
We can talk about the Xbox versus the PS4. Because originally, although in light of news today, that might not be the same, but originally the PS4 seemed like it was superior because it cost $100 less and it didn't have those policies, and a lot of the games, well, you can play Destiny on it, so you wouldn't be missing out on that. The thing about both consoles that is not good is there's no backwards compatibility.
Yeah, that is really, really unfortunate. I would have definitely used that, and we saw it with the 360 when it had backwards compatibility. You know, I'd pop in Halo 2 and play it on the 360, and you know, it kind of, there were some little bugs and stuff, but you could still play it.
Yeah, I know they had to like tailor each game. It wasn't just it could play every game, but the Xbox One can't play any game from the 360, and I think that's a bad choice.
Even if they came out with some sort of like an external drive that you could plug into the Xbox One, and this drive would play, you know, 360 games, I would totally buy that, just so that, you know, I wouldn't have to keep pulling out my big 360 and hooking it up every time. So, but going back to the PS4 versus the One. There's no doubt that the PS4 definitely came out on top in E3. However, I was never really going to, you know, get a PS4 and not get an Xbox One because of Halo.
You know, the thing is that, you know, people are only seemingly talking about Xbox One and PS4. No one's really talking about what Nintendo did. And Nintendo, I think, intentionally, they knew that this whole debate about who wins E3 wasn't going to be involving them. So they did something really interesting. I think they didn't have a big press conference the way the other two did. They did a roundtable discussion, right?
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, I didn't see it either. That's just what I heard. So I might be spewing lies. Who knows?
From what I've... Because I don't... Well, actually, I personally don't own a Wii. And,
I don't either.
Yeah. And I don't plan on getting the Wii U. But, from what I've seen, it seems like what you said, Nintendo is really pushing that they're in their own little bubble. They're not really interacting with these other two companies like they were with the Wii. Yeah. With the Wii, they were really like pushing it as you know, as in the same league as those. But now it's sort of like its own separate thing.
I think that's smart on their part. They can just focus on making it more family-friendly instead of trying to say, hey, you know, you can play the conduit.
Yeah, and, yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. So, in short, I won't be getting a PS4, but I will be getting an Xbox One.
I think I will as well, but not at launch. I was so surprised by the graphics. Like, the first graphics that really surprised me were Rise. It wasn't the first game they showed at E3.
The first game they showed was Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah.
That one, I thought, looked real. And I thought the same thing with Red Dead Redemption when I saw that. But this one looks even better. And I'm only comparing them because it looked
similar. What I was saying was,
but it still
about Rise, I don't want it. I don't think it looks fun. It looks like every other hack and slash game.
It looks like a launch title.
It does, but the graphics are really awesome. Like, it definitely looks like something that the Xbox 360 could not handle. It looks next gen. It truly does look like a next gen game. Lava lamp is going.
Yeah, there is a lava lamp in here. That's how cool this place is.
Yeah. Now,
for
like,
those of you who aren't here,
Kyle unknowingly cut you off. You were going to say something about launch. Are you getting it at launch?
No, I don't think I will be. Basically, just because the games that I would want this console for, that being the next Halo game, Destiny...
we'll talk about other ones later.
Yeah. So, none of the games that I want for the console are coming out at launch. So that's why I don't want it at launch, is just because I won't have any use for it initially. Especially because, you know, the backwards compatibility thing...
You know, I heard, I mean, I didn't hear anything, but I think it would be a good idea to do a launch bundle. So, you know, you get two launch titles with it if you pay, like, a few bucks extra.
I imagine that they would do something like that. Although, if the starting price is, you know, $500 and stuff, I'm not sure if that would be such a popular sell, because they're just adding on top of that.
Something I want to say is that I want to talk about the physical console itself, Xbox One. It looks bigger than the original Xbox 360.
They haven't compared them, which means it probably is bigger.
Like, if you look at the size of the disk drive, on the original Xbox 360, it's, like, not... It's less than half of the length. And it looks like it's about half on the Xbox One. And it looks really big.
It looks like a modern VHS, if those were still around. If you were to get a VHS now, it would look like the Xbox One.
They've redesigned... There are now basically three VHS models of the 360, so I assume they'll be redesigning the Xbox One at some point, making it smaller, because the Xbox has gotten slightly smaller each time. But it just... It looks way too big. I can't believe how big it is.
I don't know. I'm not sure if size is such an issue.
As it is with, say, phones and stuff.
Yeah, because with the Xbox, it's just sitting somewhere. And you're not really interacting with the box itself, except to put discs in. So it's not too much of an issue for me. So I don't think there's anything there.
We can talk about the controller now, if you want.
Sure.
What I've heard about it is that when you're not looking down at it, it feels just like the first one, which I like, because I really like the 360 controller.
Apparently, the 360 controller is an award-winning controller. It's been called the best controller. I haven't used the DualShock, the PlayStation 1, too much, but I definitely like the 360 one more, and the fact that... Microsoft knew that, and they knew that they had to keep it the same while making improvements, and it sounds like they did that. I like the look of it. I like that the buttons, like the A, B, X, Y buttons, are black with colored letters. That just looks cool to me. And they changed the start and back buttons, and it sounds like it's called menu and view, I think. It sounds like they do the same things and more.
Yeah, that was kind of one of the weird things, where, you know, they put these new two buttons in, but they do exactly the same things as the old buttons.
Yeah.
They just call them something different.
I feel like, you know, they say that developers can program them to be whatever they want now, but I feel like they could have done that with the 360 as well.
Unless there was some sort of restriction that Microsoft put in place or something. I have to say, I'm happy with the controller. I'm glad it's the same, because, you know, the 360 controller is really nice and I like it.
The one thing a lot of people don't like about the 360 controller is sometimes that battery pack gets in the way and it can, like, numb your fingers. I've never had that problem. But they eliminated that problem. It's not a bulge anymore.
I've never encountered that problem myself either.
But it's flat, pretty much flat on the back now.
I'd have to say the only thing I'm concerned about is that, you know, since they've tricked this controller out a lot with, you know, new vibrating triggers and such, mm-hmm. that trying to buy, you know, like, four controllers is going to be super expensive. Mm-hmm. And, And I don't even know if they have wired controllers. They haven't shown anything like that.
I doubt it.
But, because if, you know, you had wired controllers, those would be probably cheaper, I imagine. And so, if you don't have those...
We would be opposed to.
And they made damn sure they're not compatible, so you have to buy new ones.
Yeah. So, those would be the downsides. I hope that the thumbsticks on this controller are more... I don't know, I'd say...
A different material so they don't meld like yours?
Yeah, have more quality. It's not so much the surface, you know, because basically I've used kind of like two controllers mainly when I've played the 360, the one that came with my Xbox that I got in 2007, and then what do they call it? Like the limited edition or some... The silver controller.
This one?
Yeah. Like it's the silver color controller. I got that one it was in 2009 or 2010 to replace the other one. The reason why I had to replace it was because the thumbsticks, would get stuck, and they would stay, stuck in one position and cause your character to continue to move even though your hands were completely off the sticks. And so... Yeah, I tried taking it apart and trying to fix it, but I couldn't, so I had to buy a new controller. And my current controller has some hints of that going on. It's not, like, crazy bad right now, but it's to the point where it's definitely, like, sort of affecting my gameplay. So I hope that they make that more reliable and last longer.
It does look like in the pictures... that it's a different material, and I think they said they sort of made enhancements to that so that it's like there's more precision in the sticks.
Alright, so if we're done talking about consoles, maybe we can move into games.
Sure.
And game reveals.
Because I think it'll be the quickest, at least kind of quick, compared to other ones. The new Halo.
Yep, so, it's coming.
When we, all three of us, were up and watching these announcements live, and so when they were showing that trailer,
as Kevin finishes off the dregs of his hot chocolate. Yeah.
As they were showing that trailer, Kyle will remember this, I said out loud, that guy just needs to pull off his hood and be Master Chief. I said that, right?
You literally said that?
I said that
out loud. He said it out loud, and I
wasn't really thinking that when he said it, but after he did, he didn't know that was going to be Master Chief.
Oh, I had no idea. I just said that.
Even after he said it, he was just hoping.
Yeah.
But after he said that, I was like, that is definitely going to be Master Chief, especially when he held his hand out. I was like, okay, that looks like his hand. And then they showed this big, what I'm assuming was a, I almost said Prothean, but that's Mass Effect.
Promethean
thing, or Forerunner. And I noticed that just like the guns from Halo 4 and the enemies, the wings like weren't connected, there were no joints, they were just floating. And I was like, okay, that's definitely Forerunner, this is definitely Halo 5. Then they showed Master Chief, and I was like, okay, yeah. And then they didn't say Halo 5. And Kevin, you have something to say about that.
Yeah, my thought is it is Halo 5, but 343 is still focused on Halo 4. So they probably don't want to say Halo 5, because then you'll forget about Halo 4. They want to let you know, hey, we're going to be on the new console. That's all we're saying. Focus on Halo 4,
that,
like us.
That is an interesting theory that I haven't heard before about why they didn't specify Halo 5.
That's my thought. I didn't read that anywhere.
It's sort of like the subconscious thing about if there's Halo 5 that's been specifically Halo 5 announced, that somehow it would distract people from Halo 4. But it seems like people just read between the lines, and even I think Microsoft stated on their website and stuff that it's Halo 5, so...
Plus 343, and that when they announced Halo 4, they announced it was going to be a new trilogy. So we knew that Halo 5 and 6 were coming eventually. But we can assume that this is going to be Halo 5, I think.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of weird if it was some spin-off like Reach or ODST, but that would be interesting.
Yeah, that...
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if I really wouldn't expect a spin-off that would feature Master Chief like this.
Yeah.
It would have to be Halo 5, in my opinion.
Other things to talk about that are that it probably... Sorry.
Kevin, silence.
There
that.
Is a vibrate button on that awesome new iPhone, which you did just get.
Yeah, and we'll talk about
or not
that later. The new iOS and stuff. Anyway, I'm sure that those were not... That was not in-engine, in-game graphics. That
no.
was definitely a, like, CG.
Yeah.
But it still looked good. I'm sure they'll make sure the game looks even better than Halo 4 does. And you can say something while I... Oh, yeah. He's on some sort of desolate planet. We don't know what it is or why he's, like, hiding in a hood. Like,
okay.
He obviously doesn't
need
that for any type of armor,
let me just,
so it's got to be for hiding.
Let me just put something out there. A lot of people have been wondering and trying to rationalize why the heck he's wearing this. I just thought of one simple thing. Hey, the desert is tan. He's wearing sort of, like, this tan cloak. He's wearing it for camouflage.
Yeah, for hiding.
Yeah.
Probably.
So that's my rationalization.
Maybe he has camo and doesn't need it. One thing is that maybe that is what the habitants of that planet looks like, whether it's, Requiem or not. Maybe it's a new one, and that's what the habitants wear. So he's like, hey, better blend in.
Pulling a little Star Trek thing in there, which we'll get to.
I did not make that connection, but...
But I did, cool. So I'll take the credit. So, yeah, for the reveal,
Wait, were you talking about the very beginning of the movie?
I did not see this, totally didn't know this would be
Master Chief. I was just thinking, wouldn't that be so cool if it
yeah,
was?
Yeah, I was just watching the trailer and, seeing all the sand and the dunes and stuff, and then I saw, the planets in the skybox and stuff, and I said, oh, this looks like a cool game. I wonder what this is. I might be interested. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as that gauntlet came out, that's when I'm like, oh my gosh, this is Halo.
And then his hood flew back and he went, yeah.
I saw a tweet that said, just like Master Chief's hood, I was blown away by that reveal.
Mm-hmm. And among other things, Master Chief is now a Jedi.
And something that you might not know if you have not read the Forerunner books is that there is this machine called like a War Sphinx. So people have been speculating that that might be what's in the trailer. However, we don't know for sure.
But we're excited.
We are excited.
Mildly.
Right before we move on, what do you think about the 2014 date?
That's doesn't cool. bother me. It's cool because if you notice with the original Halo trilogy, it was every 3 years. And now it looks like maybe they're aiming for every 2 years, which means we'll get the games faster, but maybe they won't be as polished. I don't know.
I think 343
is very talented, and I'm sure they're not going to ship a game that isn't ready.
It was 3 years from 3 to Reach, and then 2 years from Reach to 4.
But now it's going to be...
Yeah, but now it's going to be 4 years... Or, sorry, 2 years from 4 to what we're assuming is 5.
Yeah, I think the only issue that people have with that date is will it be enough time to put out a quality product. And I know...
People felt that way about Skyrim.
I know lots of people had, you know, Skyrim was definitely not without its share of glitches, and similar to that, Halo 4 definitely, some people definitely do not like it and, you know, loathe it, even.
But
so
it didn't have glitches.
Griffball is awesome.
Alright. So now, moving on to Destiny. I am, what I've seen of it is really, really good.
And Peter Dinklage is in it, which is really, really good. Because we all like Game of Thrones here.
Yeah. No, no, wait, you haven't seen it. Okay.
Still, never mind. Still
out. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, I mean, I'd have to say, like, besides for the more than, like, 16 players, which... I thought that was awesome. That's great. I got what I was expecting out of it.
Yeah. I was not disappointed by the graphics. They looked great.
Something I noticed is that the all the players, like who you play as, they looked like Spartans, and I'm not saying physically, but the way they were standing and moving and holding weapons, it just looked like
by the Spartans. Way, the for the PlayStation the controller layout was revealed. I don't know if you saw that, but the D-pad is all related to, I don't know what it's called on PlayStation controller, yeah. But you know what I mean. Those are all devoted to like the gestures. Like you saw somebody wave. Apparently, you can also dance and I think point.
Yeah, those are some really cool features.
Like
that,
Portal.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. Another, you know. Just as a side, I really liked Bungie put out quite a few videos about like them at E3 and stuff, and
yeah,
I thought that those are really
their,
great.
Behind closed doors thing, which I thought was a good idea.
Yeah, so that was just one extra thing that really added to their presence there, and just like all the employees there being, you know, excited and all that stuff, and some swag attacks as well.
Yeah.
Was there anything else we wanted to add? I mean, also 2014 release date.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that.
The way that it's gonna play, as far as story wise, I'm sure you can compare it to Borderlands. The way you can play with multiple people or by yourself, and your game is going to continue the same way no matter what you're doing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
It seems like it's going to be very big, but also good. And one of the things that I was watching a lot of IGN coverage, and one of their guys that works at IGN is very into Halo, and he loves it, and he kept saying... this looks like, I haven't played it, but it looks like it feels like Halo. And I mean that as a compliment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And something I noticed
Well, first of all, the guy who he was talking to, the guy who works with Bungie, said, you know, we're known for making great first-person shooters, and we're not trying to shy away from that. It's basically, you know, he didn't deny that it feels like Halo, which I think is good.
Something that I wanted to point out, though, is that everything I watched from any member of Bungie, Kyle, there's a silencer.
I thought it was... Okay. Yeah, it's on.
James Bond always uses his silencer. Why aren't you using yours? Actually, he doesn't, so never mind.
Anyway, I never saw anyone from Bungie say Halo, even though everyone they were talking to was saying Halo. They never said it. It's in their trailer, though, from the makers of Halo and the company
and,
Call of Duty. They had to put that in there.
That's me gagging.
They had to put that in there. But I noticed that they're not saying Halo for some reason. Maybe it's because they're not making it, or someone else is making
it. They don't own it anymore.
Yeah. But they made it, and they're not saying that.
Yeah, I think it might just be out of courtesy and stuff and not trying to impose on 343 and Microsoft. But, again, really quickly before we move on, since it's coming to, like, the 360 and the PS3, they haven't said anything about this, but do you think that there will be, like, some features that they're... would be absent from those versions?
I know that there's going to be PlayStation-specific bonuses as far as between the generations. I have no idea. There are going to be incentives to buy the new ones.
Because, I mean, if you have, you know, this more than 16 players thing, I'm not sure if that, you know, from a technical standpoint or not, if that's possible on the 360. But it seems like not really any people have done that. So that would be something to consider. And moving on, anything else?
That's about it for Destiny, but I have more games to
talk
about. All
right, let's hear it.
And I want to talk with you specifically, Lane, about Elder Scrolls Online. Because you and I both enjoyed Skyrim very much. I got it for Christmas, and I showed you, I think it was the day after Christmas, I said, Lane, come over here, you have to see this game. You were already kind of interested in it. Then you saw it and went out and got it, I think, that day.
I did.
We both enjoyed the heck out of Skyrim, both played over 100 hours, got some DLCs, and it was a very well-made game. And I remember you and I had no problem just sitting down and watching the other one play, right? Mm-hmm. But we also kept saying, it would be so cool if we could play this together. And now... we can, because...
It is done.
Elder Scrolls Online is not just a PC and Mac game, although I guess I wouldn't really mind playing it on Mac, but it's on the next generation consoles, so we could technically play it together. It looks graphically like Skyrim, which isn't too disappointing to me, you know, because originally it was going to be, as far as I know, a computer game, and those... don't have as good graphics, I would say.
It's
sometimes
MMOs in general,
yeah, for such a big game, but it looks like Skyrim from what I can tell, and Skyrim had good graphics.
I have to say, initially I totally just, you know, wrote off Elder Scrolls Online.
Me too.
Again, just because I assumed it was a PC only.
I wasn't looking too much into it, but now I've been looking into it a lot. And it looks very interesting, especially now that they announced first person, because that's the way I played the Elder Scrolls. I played some of Morrowind, all of Oblivion, and all of Skyrim, and I play first person.
Does anyone play Skyrim solely third person? I don't really think...
You could always do third person in those other games, but they made sure in... not so much in Fallout. You could do it in Fallout 3. Which plays very similarly. In Skyrim, they made it with third person in mind. Like, obviously people play first person mostly, but they greatly enhanced the third person playing. So, a lot of people do play third person. And I assume maybe I could even say it would be about 50-50 for Elder Scrolls Online. I'll be playing first person if I were to get it. The reason I don't know if I'm going to get it or not is because...
The company that makes it, I can't think of their name. It's not Bethesda, even though Bethesda is... I don't know.
I don't know, so...
I'll look that up, but they've specifically said, what we're not talking about is the price. We're not telling you if it's going to be a $60 game like these other Elder Scrolls games, and we're also not telling you if it's going to be a pay-to-play, like online MMOs. So if it is going to be like a per-month thing, that makes my interest level way
down. They would really be shooting themselves in the foot if they went and put it on consoles and then charged people a monthly fee on top of Xbox Live or PlayStation Plus or whatnot. I really, you know, you can say what you want about DLC, but there's no sort of this paid, you know, this monthly subscription stuff that you've done for multiplayer games on the consoles.
Quickly speaking of PlayStation Plus, of all the great things that people love about PS4, no one seems to be mentioning that you now have to pay to play online, which was not a PS3 thing.
Yeah.
Okay, just side note, it's developed by ZeniMax Online Studios.
All right.
And it's published by Bethesda, who develops The Elder Scrolls and Fallout. But it's in good hands. It looks like a good game. I would, like, if it is just like a $60 game, would you be getting it?
I'd have to say I would be waiting for initial reactions. It's not a day one purchase for me.
Yeah. I usually wait to get Bethesda's games like that anyway.
What I don't like about the footage that I've seen is that while it's not completely, you know, MMO style, there are, like, hints of that style, and I cannot stand that style. It drives me crazy.
What do you mean? What style are you talking
sort
about?
Sort of more, like, not realistic, more colorful. The graphics are usually kind of, you know, less... I don't even know quite how to describe it. Less formed.
I kind of understand what you're trying to say.
Yeah, basically, like...
cartoonish?
I think it's just because the play space and stuff is so massive that everything is sort of in that cartoony-ish vein. Yeah. So...
Elder Scrolls is very serious, though, and there... It doesn't look too much like... If you didn't know... If you weren't way too much into the Elder Scrolls, I don't know if you'd be able to tell apart from, say, Skyrim.
Is it a Bethesda game?
We just went over that.
They're publishing it. They're not developing it.
That's what being on your phone does to you. True. I have to say, okay, last closing thing for this game. What I do like is that from the gameplay, like the first person's perspective, the menus and functionality and stuff, all that seems identical to Skyrim.
Yeah. So,
I'm happy about that.
If it is indeed worth it, I think I'll be getting it, and we will probably be playing together because we really wanted to play Skyrim together. Okay, so next, do you have any thoughts about Batman Arkham Origins? Because I know you haven't played the Arkham games, and I have. I highly recommend them to you, and you can have them whenever you want.
I have not seen the Batman trailer from E3.
There was a trailer before E3. There's gameplay now.
Oh, all right. Well, I haven't seen that yet, so...
Well...
I'm not the authority.
Just talk a little bit about it then. I played the Arkham games, and I absolutely loved them. It was weird because I was never into Batman too much before, and then one day I was bored, and I downloaded the Arkham City demo, and I thought... Okay, whatever. You know, nothing
there's,
great
there's
about
something
it.
To this.
Yeah. Well, no, I thought, you know, it's good, you know, whatever. And then I stopped playing, and then I couldn't get it out of my head. I was like, okay, that was really cool, actually. Let me go back and download the Arkham Asylum, which is the first game. Let me download that demo and play it. And I played that, and I was like, yeah, this is good. Let me replay the Arkham City demo. So I replayed that, and I was like, yeah. I can't get this out of my head. I have to get it. So I got the first game, and then I started replaying it. And in the middle of replaying it, I bought the second game, finished replaying, then, so I played the first game twice, and then I also played the second game twice. I very much enjoyed it. It really is a great, the best superhero game, I think. I haven't played others, but that's what people say, and I agree. And this new one is actually being developed by a different studio. So, you know, there's a little bit of wariness there. But it, what people are saying is that it's pretty much exactly the same, only instead of taking place in Arkham Asylum and Arkham City, it's taking place in Gotham, which is much bigger. And but the gameplay is going to be pretty much exactly the same. Upgrading systems is supposed to be better. And overall, it's like a very big game. If you compare the first two, the first game was very small scale, the second game was very big scale. And a lot of people miss the small scale style from the first game. I like both of them. But what this new developer is saying is, we don't really care if you like that small style more. This game is huge. It's bigger than Arkham Asylum. Sorry, Arkham City. I get them mixed up because they have one word difference. So it's supposed to be very big, and it's supposed to be very good, and I'm interested in it. I won't be getting it immediately, but I'm definitely interested in it.
All right.
And also, the voice actors. Mark Hamill, who plays the Joker and is amazing in it, and Kevin Conroy, who played Batman, and they both played those guys in the animated series, so they've been doing these voices forever. Both of them are not returning. Mark Hamill said that Arkham City is his last go as the Joker, but Kevin Conroy never said that. But because this is actually a prequel, they want Batman to sound younger, so they didn't get Kevin Conroy, and we've actually heard a bit of the Joker, and he doesn't sound too much like Mark Hamill, which is, it's obviously an impression.
Of Mark Hamill doing the Joker.
But, basically, I'm interested in that game. We can move on now.
Yes.
So, Lane, you had mentioned that Titanfall looked interesting to you.
Yes, it does indeed. So, I'll just go really briefly into this, but, you know, it's by the same sort of offshoot developers that left Infinity Ward, and they made this game. One of the things, you know, amongst, you know, many things that people have issue with Call of Duty, and myself as well, one of the things that I had issue with was that it was just, you know, for as over the top as some things were, it was just in the real world. It wasn't creating like a universe and sort of like this interesting story. This, though, is completely a different case. It's a futuristic sci-fi. We have these giant mechs. It gets you curious and say, oh, what is this giant ship? What's this giant mech thing? And why are these people fighting? And stuff like that. That really is intriguing to me. So I thought that it was super cool that you could be able to like get in and out of the mechs. And then also the sort of parkour-esque style play when you're on foot, where you can go run off buildings and sort of use this thruster pack to wall run and jump onto different buildings and ledges. But then the coolest part was when, in this gameplay demo, when the player was in this mech, which is awesome and has all these awesome powers, but then his mech was getting destroyed, and so, just like a fighter jet, he ejected himself from the mech, flew up in the air, and landed onto an enemy mech and destroyed it from the top.
Halo style?
I guess kind of so, if you're section akin to, oh my like god, I forgot boarding, the name.
Boarding an enemy vehicle.
Scarab, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so sort of like that.
Yeah. Okay. I was thinking about like boarding a wraith and destroying it.
Yeah, that kind of would be more appropriate. But I just tend to think big.
Yeah.
I should work on the new Batman game. Hey, okay, so I'm actually looking forward to that, and I'm definitely considering buying it when it comes out.
I'm wondering what intrigued you about Watch Dogs, because I don't really
know. We're going to get to that. When does Titanfall come out, and for what console?
Spring 2014, yet another 2014 game. Definitely PS... No, that is not true. I misspoke. Definitely Xbox One. I think beyond that, I think it might be PC too. So I think it's Xbox One, PC. Beyond that, people have speculated that it's on the 360 too, but there's no confirmation on that. So there we go. And do we have Watch Dogs and then anything else? Because we are spending a good chunk of time on this.
Yeah. After Watch Dogs, no more games.
Okay, so let's hit up Watch Dogs. So, originally they showed it last E3, and yeah. It was a huge hit at at the whatever conference they showed it at, and lots of people liked it. I wasn't really paying too much attention to it, but I saw sort of what it was about, and you're kind of like this hacker guy who can hack into all sorts of different things, like phones and cameras and other pieces of the city that you can use to your advantage. So I watched the this past gameplay demo, and it's basically just like that, where you're this guy who's kind of on the run from the cops, and you have to get this other guy to safety. So you're basically,
like escort.
You using your phone and doing all this stuff, and it looks like the world is like it's open, so that you can go anywhere you want.
Yeah, and that reminds me, going back to Destiny, I just remembered that Destiny has like a full day and night cycle, which has never been done in Halo before. It's more like RPGs.
That reminds me, didn't the new Metal Gear Solid say it's now like 24-hour day cycle instead of 30-minute like most games?
That's interesting. Not sure if I would like that or not. But going back to Watch Dogs, where it is, as far as I can tell, permanently nighttime, by the way.
Just like the Batman games.
Yeah, so it's basically a combination of like you're running around, you at some points you have a gun that you can go and shoot people with, but then also you're trying to also blend into some crowds, I think, and also hacking and doing all these other things.
So far it sounds like sort of an everything game. They're not trying to stick to one genre, like action or stealth or,
If this was assigned to a movie genre, it would definitely be like a thriller.
What about a game genre is what I'm saying? It doesn't seem like a stealth game, like,
It's not...
Metal Gear.
Yeah, it's not like a full-on stealth game. I'd sort of say it's like a... definitely third-person,
Could you like say action?
Action game, I think, would be... Yeah. I think that would fit.
Not
but,
a shooter. You wouldn't call it a shooter.
No.
Like Gears of War.
No, but it's definitely... they've created this environment where it's really intriguing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'll be looking at that. I'm not sure if I'll get it or not. I don't have a super strong feeling one way or the other, but from what I've seen, it definitely looks neat.
Are we done with games now?
Yes, we are. Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you guys talk about the new iOS while I take a quick detour to the bathroom?
Yes. So, one...
My thoughts, by the way... I'm looking forward to it. There you go.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't, which is sad.
I don't know why. I think it looked great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so on the exact same day as all this E3 was being touted around, Apple had their conference and announced the new operating system for phones and iPads and iPod Touches.
In my opinion, it looks great. I'm so excited for it. I can't wait. There's a lot of backlash because it looks like it's copying Android or whatever. I don't care. What I'm excited about is the home screen 3D.
That is so cool to me. Yeah, I cannot wait for that.
And apparently it can move backgrounds can move now, not just within a 3D space, but like
of course
changing picture.
Of course, this adds no functionality. This just looks cool.
Yeah, I gotta use that one. This is the stars and the clouds. God, I love that so much. And what else is new? They've redesigned everything. So every one of their like Apple apps looks different. The messaging looks different. They said with Game Center, we completely ran out of green felt. And all the app icons are different, too. It looks like the calendar still updates every day. Weather, though, does not.
Yeah, that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
Although,
you get way more details when you open the app anyway.
Yeah, I have to say, when I first saw it, my knee-jerk reaction was, what? What?
It's very colorful.
I really, when I saw it, it was mainly the lock screen. I looked, wow, this looks like almost like a Samsung product.
Yeah.
But I think that the main reason why I thought of that was because of that font that they chose to display the time.
Yeah.
And once I sort of watched some videos and watched the whole conference, I was definitely more sold on it.
Yeah. As far as the lock screen goes, you still slide to the right to unlock it. There's just no like physical thing showing you. You still slide up from the bottom right corner to get to the camera. Now, in the lock screen, you can slide down for notification center, and you can slide up for control center, which is new.
That is my favorite new feature, the control center. All of those little things that you always want to get at, now all in one spot that you can instantly access.
Including a Apple first flashlight app, I can now delete mine.
Hooray!
And to be able to get to it without even unlocking my phone is good by me.
So,
other new things are folders now have multiple pages.
You know. Oh, I'm super happy about that. So now I can actually put all my games in one folder instead of having to distribute them.
I'm back.
There's the new, you can have filters within the camera app.
Not so big of a deal.
Not necessary.
Multitasking is new. It doesn't just slide up anymore and show you your apps. There's much more to it.
Really?
Yeah. Also, I don't know if you guys saw this, but there's no more sliding to the left to search for it. Now you can't slide to the left anymore. You just slide down from anywhere, and it brings up that search.
But what is... Okay, so you say you slide down from anywhere to get the search. What about the notification center then? Isn't that the same thing?
If you slide down from the very top, that's notification center.
Oh, if you just slide down from anywhere on the screen. I gotcha. I don't know why they would change that, I guess.
One less screen to worry about.
Yeah. But if you just... I think it was double tapping on the button could get you there to search. Unless I'm
not
wrong.
Anymore.
Okay. Yeah, I was wrong. Okay. But, so that is coming in the fall. So, I'm looking forward to that. I keep saying this, but one last thing before we move on is, I noticed that it seems like before, maybe this was like under, you know, the guidance of Steve Jobs, it seemed like they were trying to converge both iOS and OS X to look uniform. But now they're completely going off in a different direction.
Yeah. Another really cool thing is if you have an iPhone 5, and I say 5 only because we tried it on Lane's iPhone 4 and it didn't look so good. If you, on your iPhone 5, go to Apple's website, they have videos where it's a video, but it shows you what iOS 7 looks like on your phone, so you can see all the new things. You can see what the messaging app looks like. You can see what Siri looks like. By the way, Siri has some upgrades too. Now you can search Bing, I don't care. You can search Wikipedia and Twitter, which is helpful.
I'm surprised you can search Bing. That's a Microsoft thing.
I gotta say, when they did say Bing in their press conference, I kind of snickered.
Yeah.
What did the video look like on your phone? Were there black bars on the side?
Yeah, it was just sized incorrectly.
If you go to it on a computer, it'll show you, basically, inside an iPhone 5 screen. Siri has upgrades to the voice now, too. You can choose a male voice without having to change the language. And I guess both male and female voice has more, a little bit more emotion, I guess you could say.
It's smoother, I think.
Yeah. Less robotic.
So, Kyle, since you were otherwise occupied, what do you like about the new iOS?
I like, let's see. I do like the whole new home screen 3D-ness. I think you said that. I heard. I do like the messaging app. I like that it's all white now instead of gray. I like that everything basically looks cleaner and they cleaned it up.
All right. So, if we will wrap that up. This is kind of like a tech segment almost, it seems like. But, yeah, if we want to move on from this so-called tech segment, we do have plenty of other things to talk about.
AirDrop, you can do that.
Oh, yeah.
So
except not on iPhone 4s, well, so I won't be using that.
But still, that's good. They really updated everything. A lot of it looks very similar, like messages and mail. It's just, you know, it looks cleaner, and there are new features in pretty much everything.
Okay, so, moving on, switching gears from what other companies are doing to what our company, or company of people, are doing.
The three of us.
Now, none of you sent in anything as far as emails, voicemails. But that's okay, because one dude on YouTube did comment and said I had a great beard, so I'm happy about that.
Also, they were wondering, somebody, I don't know if it's the same person, wondering, what was the name of that yellow thing behind
you? Oh, yeah, I guess it's a boy? I don't even know, but,
it's like a puppet thing.
It is the creature commonly referred to by us as Necky, probably because he has a giant neck, so.
Probably.
Yeah.
He does have a giant neck.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I guess, you know, it's all relative. If it drafts on, you know, completely different perspective. Anyway, besides the point, you can send in stuff and we'll read it. We'll pretty much, you're pretty much guaranteed to get your stuff read, unless it's spam. And we even read spam, too, if sometimes. So anyway.
No, you don't have to email us anymore. You can now send us a message on Facebook or Twitter will do, and we'll get those on the podcast as well.
Yes. So, lots of people have, you know, liked our videos and stuff and retweeted us and stuff. So I do appreciate that, you know, getting us out there. Duststorm.
Continue to do that.
Yeah. Duststorm, who runs, Podtacular, retweeted our live feed while we were doing the TPMAs, so I'm grateful for that.
Sorry, can you say that again?
Kyle, again with your phone.
Now that he has an iPhone, he can't stop.
Yeah, it's just he's always admiring the work of Johnny Ives. Yeah. All right, so anyway, you can tweet us at Thomas Pro Inc. And similarly, you can email us still at thomasproinc@gmail.com. And Facebook. We are on Facebook, facebook.com/thomasproductions. That seems to be where our presence is most heavily focused, mainly because since we usually have like a Facebook page open in a tab somewhere at all times, that's where we are most often,
and
therefore post most often.
Send us a message on YouTube. I forgot to say that. You probably can deal with that.
Yeah, I usually don't. They don't have that convenient like pop up thing on the front page of YouTube that shows when you have a message. So those might not get read as often.
Also, if you visit our Facebook within the week, you'll be getting some updates on something that's kind of going on right now, if you'd like to talk about that.
Yes, we are having our second ever Halo 4 TP Community Game Event.
We hope a lot of people will show up because we have a lot of maps, and some of them specifically it would be great for 16 or about 16
more players.
Yeah.
So,
you can have more than 16 in Halo 4.
Yeah, I don't know why I was saying that. Thinking forward to Xbox One. Anyway, this is happening on Saturday, June 22nd, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. June 22nd.
You better
know. Yeah, I made the video. I said it enough. June 22nd, 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So you can go check that out. And if you want to participate, you can send a friend request to the gamer tag Foundry Lemon Man. And then once that time rolls around, you can go to him on your friends list and join the game that he's in. And, you know, if there's space, and I don't see why there wouldn't be, you'll be able to join. And this will probably go on for about 2 hours, I'm guessing, this game event. Maybe longer, but who knows. So anyway, we hope that you come to that. And
if you go to Facebook now, you can see some pictures of the maps that we'll be playing on.
Yes, we've been posting preview pictures all this week on our Facebook page. So if Sunday, or Sunday, Saturday, if Saturday hasn't passed by the time you're listening to this, you can go check those pictures out. And even if it has passed, you can just go check them out for fun. Zippity doodah.
Will we be broadcasting this?
That is a great question, Kevin. Yes, we will be broadcasting this. For technically, it's the second time, but the first time was crap. So let's just say it's the first time. We're broadcasting this for the first time on Twitch TV.
And if we had an Xbox One, it would be a little easier, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we would, opposed to hooking it up to the computer and broadcasting it that way, we would just be able to broadcast it.
But we can still do that anyway, and here's another question. Will I be able to watch it later?
That is another great question, Kevin. I believe all of the replays, or I believe all the videos that are, streamed to our Twitch channel are automatically recorded and will be available to watch at a later date.
All right. Good to hear.
So, great news. You can come participate, and if not, you can just come and see what you missed. That's great. Okay.
I am very much looking forward to debuting my new game type and map that I've created that is going to be bloody, let's put it that way.
All right, is it a Dookie's knockoff?
It is not a Dookie's knockoff. It's
Dookie's is Kevin's famous slash favorite game
it's,
type.
The game type.
Created.
It's not a knockoff. It's my, like, I wasn't inspired by it, but it might end up being my Dookie's. Basically, think of it as, you know, if you know what Dookie's is, think of it as a bit more vertical.
For those of you not in the know, Dookie's is
sucks. No, it doesn't suck.
is the game type created by Kevin, where all 16 players spawn in the same confined hallway and try and get to the very end where all the power weapons are. And so there's a lot of death.
Yeah. And if you're in the lead, there are some restrictions placed on you that makes it a little bit harder to get kills, so that everyone has a chance to be the leader.
And everyone has a chance to respawn a million times.
And assassinations are like 10 extra points,
yeah,
right?
And even
though you created it in Halo 3.
Now I forgot what I was going to say. Thanks a lot.
All right, so check that out.
Oh, yeah, another thing about my new, well, I won't say, but I do have another map with a different game type. But I'm not making any sense of mine.
Nope, you aren't. Okay.
Well, I was talking about something, but I don't want to give it away, so
I remember what I was
going to
say. Because everyone's getting, they spawn in the same area and you get killed so fast, it's also easier to kill people. Because you get killed so fast, I raised the score to win. So, it goes on for
for longer?
It doesn't go on for a really long time. It's about, maybe even shorter than the average regular game. Okay, so moving on. Before we get to our movie reviews, there is a new trailer for the second Hobbit movie.
Actually, before we get to that, do we want to just briefly say what our current projects are that we're working on right now?
So, Lane, you have probably the latest update on the next Marlin.
Yes, I do. Editing has begun on the final episode of this season.
It's so, very action-packed.
Yeah, pretty much. Episode 79 was all setting up this giant action scene that's going to take place in this next episode.
But that's not to say it's not going to be hilarious, as always.
Oh, no, no. There's always room to be hilarious. Especially in action scenes sometimes.
And especially when Corey is involved.
Yeah,
when Corey is involved.
I mean, how are you going to top being lit on fire and driving off a cliff?
we'll show you.
Yeah.
That was ages ago.
Yeah, that was episode 22.
It was.
Yes. Yeah, lit on fire and driving off a cliff. This is, I don't want to give anything away, but it's, you know.
You know, Corey's, in general, was...
His schemes get bigger
In 61, he died from falling too. He fell off that cliff too. I didn't realize that. It was...
Well,
his death scene...
You didn't... Or, you can't call it a death scene.
Yeah. His defeats always seem to be from high places.
Yeah, high places deaths are always fun for Corey. Maybe it gives him a chance to do an epic scream on his way out.
That's what I was going towards.
Is it the same in this episode?
Award-winning scream. So yeah, I don't want to give too much away. But this episode is... The ending is, you know, what you'd come to expect from us.
That's pretty good.
So we, on top of Marlin, we do have another summer movie that we're going to make that we, you know, if you pay attention to our summer movies, you can pretty much guess that it's going to be big, it's going to be huge, and it's going to be where
It's going to be very, very, very live action.
Yeah.
And very recognizable in...
locations?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know we're in the planning stages of this movie right now. I know we're definitely going to have a couple, you know, repeat locations.
I think our...
But also new.
The treatment is pretty much done, right?
I think just about. I think, you know, there's always room for polishing on anything. But I think it's in good shape right now.
Yeah, basically we know what it's going to be, and you don't.
So, stew on that for a little while. Okay. Now, let's go into our final segment, movie reviews. Now, we were going to do these last time, but...
What about the Hobbit trailer?
Oh, forgot about that. Go ahead with that.
Well,
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, okay, so...
He's the go-to villain now.
Kyle and I have started... Or actually, we watched the entire... Okay. So... Martin Freeman, who plays Bilbo, and Benedict Cumberbatch, who plays the dragon and the necromancer in the Hobbit movies, they have starred together before in a BBC, aka British, series called Sherlock, and it's a modern-day telling of Sherlock Holmes, where Benedict Cumberbatch, I'll call him Ben, because that's way easier to say, he plays...
Benny C?
Yeah, Benny C plays... Sherlock, and Martin Freeman plays Watson. Only because it's modern, they make sure to like make it very modern, so they don't call each other Holmes and Watson, they call each other Sherlock and John. And I showed Lane a clip of it. You thought it looked good, right?
I thought it looked really good.
Yeah, and
Gonna watch it?
I have it in my my Netflix queue, so...
Alright, good. So
you're gonna really enjoy it.
It's so good. I highly recommend it. There are only 6 episodes so far because there are 2 seasons of 3 episodes each, and it's just 90 straight minutes. So it's almost a movie. And they're making a 3rd season right now.
So is each episode 90 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, no commercials.
It's 6 of these 90-minute chunks.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's why there's only 6 episodes right now, because they're very long.
It's technically a mini-series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Lane, you're definitely going to enjoy it.
going back to The Hobbit.
Going back to The Hobbit, those guys are in it, and at the very end of the trailer, you finally get to see the dragon's whole face for the first time, and he's played by Benedict Cumberbatch. And overall, okay, so when I've read the book, and I am very excited to see the barrel rolling in the river scene, mm-hmm. because I remember reading that for the first time when I was in fifth grade, and I was like, wow, that's so awesome.
That was like the first thing they showed in the trailer, wasn't it? One of the first things.
I think you're right.
Yeah. So I'm
I know the trailer better than you guys, and I've seen it once?
No, I thought you meant the first trailer.
Hey, I've only seen it once, too. But you probably do.
I'm so excited for that, because that's very... There are very famous scenes that they left out of the first movie, and that's going to be in these... Or this second movie, and I'm very excited about that. It looks like what they're doing is, in the second one, they're finishing the book, and in the third one, they're going to maybe have completely new...
Again, so I think the third movie is the back part, back, and also exploring some of the anthologies that J.R.R. Tolkien wrote but did not put into book. He put in, like, collections.
You guys didn't read The Hobbit, but at the end, there is more when they come back. You know, mm-hmm. like... more things happen. Small things, it's not a large
And contrary to what you said, I didn't read it, but I did listen to it. So I do...
How recent was that?
No, that was a year ago. So I do sort of know roughly what's going to go on.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to seeing the humans. There weren't any humans in the last one.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Yeah.
There's going to be lots of elves in this one.
Mm-hmm.
If you've read, you know.
Yeah. Alright, so looking forward to that. You know, we enjoyed the last one. We'll enjoy this one, too.
Yeah.
Movie review time. Alright, so first on the queue, Iron Man 3.
Yeah. Okay, so I was very much looking forward to Iron Man 3 because the trailers just made it look so good. And... Because my expectations were so high, it disappointed me a little bit. It was still a great movie. It was just as funny, if not funnier, than the other ones. It had a very good story with some twists that I wasn't expecting. And as Robert Downey Jr. himself said, the best Act 3 of them all. Definitely. By a long shot. It was the best Act 3, as in the third act of the film, not the third film in the trilogy or series. The final third of the movie was very action-packed and very awesome.
I will say my favorite thing about the movie is the whole twist with the Mandarin.
Yeah.
Now, this is having come from someone who's never read any of the Iron Man comics, doesn't know who the heck the Mandarin is, but I really enjoyed that twist because I had no clue that it was coming.
Yeah, me too.
So I enjoyed that.
I guess this is a spoiler-free review.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, this is definitely a spoiler-free. We're just kidding. So anyway... Moving on from that...
Well, I mean, we're not revealing the twist, and we're not revealing what the Act 3 is. But there is a twist, and there is an amazing Act 3.
So...
The movie's been out for a while.
I'd have to say, my main issue with it is that it seemed like it was either all action or all comedy. Mm-hmm. And I know that they had some, like, injections of, like, serious stuff, but I think I've pinpointed it. Why, like, I felt like there wasn't enough of that. And I think it's because Robert Downey Jr., I know he's a good actor, so I think it's, you know, the character of Stark, he just always, you know, when someone confronts him with, like, something serious, he always just, like, injects humor into it. And I think that's what sort of rubbed me the wrong way, is that even though they're trying to do serious stuff, it never really felt too serious to me.
What I thought about it was I liked pretty much everything. I didn't like... I feel like they relied a little too heavily on CGI, which, you know, we're going to talk about Star Trek, and I think J.J. Abrams did right in that he didn't rely too heavily on CGI. Other than that...
As much as can be said for a giant space movie.
With that being said, I did think that the movie was funny, I thought the story was great, and it didn't feel like, oh, we need to make more money off of Iron Man, let's throw together some crappy movie. They made it good.
And hey, definitely better than Iron Man 2.
Oh yeah.
I'll say that, yeah.
Yeah, they made a good film, and I enjoyed it. And
it is the second best of the three. You can't.
I concur.
Going off of my, I like to rate out of 10, I say it's in between an 8.5 and a 9. I can't quite give it a 9 for some reason. Let's say 8.75 out of 10.
I can't remember what I gave it on Twitter, if I even gave it a score on Twitter. So I'll just say what I think right now. 3.5 out of 5. And I say that because of my previous elaborations.
If we're going out of
that
5...
That is, just so you know, a 70% C-. Does that sound right to you now that you say it?
You know, I don't work that way. So I just go on instinct. Okay.
If you're going out of 5, I'm going to say 3.75.
Okay.
Five. Like, you can't beat the first movie. You can definitely beat the second. It's somewhere in between those two. It was a very good movie. It just wasn't as good as I was hoping it was going to be.
Okay. Now, going to Star Trek. Into not the darkness, just darkness.
I'll start on this one. I went in with high hopes, high expectations. Not a huge Star Trek fan. The only other Star Trek thing I've seen was the first one 4 years ago. Saw it once. Never really gave it a second thought. But I went into this one, and I knew that people said it was good. People said that Benedict Cumberbatch was awesome. And I came out agreeing with them. I thought the movie was...
That's why we started watching Sherlock.
The movie was even better than the first one. And I feel like Star Trek, I can't hate it anymore. I used to hate it just because I never saw it in, like, Star Wars. But now I think it's actually, hey, this is great. I trust in J.J. Abrams to make a good Star Wars movie, and I do like that, you know, as I said before, nothing that could have been, you know, real was it. He used sets, like, the whole Enterprise was all a giant set, I assume. There wasn't a lot of CGI other than what really needed to be...
like space.
Yeah.
And props to the...
Probably San
props.
Francisco and London was CGI as well. But, they used props. I thought Benedict Cumberbatch was awesome. Chris Pine was great. Zachary Quinto was great. Everybody, all the actors were good.
What's the Scottish guy? I know he's not Scottish. Oh, I always forget. Simon Pegg.
Yeah.
Simon Pegg. He was good. The story was good. The story wasn't also like, hey, we need to make a sequel to make money. Let's throw together anything we can think of. It was, hey, let's take our time, 4 years' time, make a really good movie. And they did, and it was excellent. And I can say that I'm surprised I'm giving it a 9 out of 10.
I would pretty much echo every single thing that you said, Kyle. You know, I was an active Star Trek hater just because of such my volatile passion for Star Wars.
I know, and one of the things that really pumped me up before I saw it was you and I sort of wanted to see it together. Kevin was so adamant about not seeing it.
I think it's funny that he likes it. Not to spoil your view, but
Star Trek is Kevin's apple.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Texted, you saw it the night before I did. Unfortunately, we didn't get to see it together, but you saw it the night before I did. I asked you before I saw it, how was it? And you said, it was good. The only way it could be better if it was Star Wars. And that's a huge compliment coming from Lane, and that really made me, you know, it raised my expectations even more, and I came out satisfied.
Looking at, I went to see it, definitely not opening weekend. It was... following weekend?
No, it was like a couple weeks after. Yeah. We still had to wait in a giant line and there was almost no place to sit.
Yeah.
That happened to me, too. I went to go see it like at an earlier showing, and it was sold out.
That's
so
crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy a couple weekends after opening. But, yeah, anyway, I went in.
Did you see it at the...
Yeah, okay. So I went in with, you know, not sure expectations, because on Twitter, people either loved it or they hated it. I'm assuming
I don't know why they could hate it. I thought it was so
I'm assuming it was just because it conflicted with the original. That it was based on...
Yeah, original Star Trek series nerds, probably.
Yeah, which, by the way...
somebody messing with their franchise.
So I basically... I really loved this movie and thought it was great. I think... Because I saw the original 2009 one, and I didn't like that one as much as this one. And I think it was because of the lack of some Benny D. Or
Benny Z?
I'm getting my things mixed up here. Benny C. Benedict Cumberbatch was an awesome villain, and I feel like...
That actor was so good, wasn't he?
I feel like the villain in the 2009 one was just sort of like a random villainy guy who's twirling his mustache all the time. Yeah. You know, so... I think that's why I really liked this movie.
Movies that are about the villain, like The Dark Knight, make for a really good movie. Let me talk now.
Quick thing.
As usual.
This movie, because I liked it so much, and because it was based on the movie Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan, it did cause me to add it to my Netflix queue, and I did begin watching it.
Begin meaning it's an epic saga of a movie? Are you following along?
Beginning
with the story?
Meaning I didn't like it enough to continue watching it.
Oh, really?
The thing is, it was made, you know, again, Star Wars guy here. I think it was around 83-ish or 82 or something. The whole time I'm comparing the production quality of this movie to The Empire Strikes Back or Return of the Jedi. Those two
from
Star Wars...
the 70s.
Well, 80s, actually. Well, 80, 83.
Come on, Kyle.
Jeez, get your act together here.
All I know is that the first one is in the 70s, I just assumed.
Yeah. You are right there. So, I'm constantly comparing it. The two Star Wars movies, they have such, like, a timeless feel to them. You know, with the original Star Wars, you could sort of tell the hair was kind of... 70s-ish, but not overbearing. But with the Empire and Jedi, they really have this timeless feel where you know you could everything looks awesome and it feels like
its own thing.
Yeah, not so much with this movie.
Like, were there sideburns and everything?
No, it's not even that. It's just like it's a set. You can totally tell.
Oh, like. Like James Bond in the 50s?
No, that's the 60s here, Kyle. Get your decades right here. Decading
I better just add one decade to everything I say.
Or subtract.
Alright, can I give my opinion there?
Almost. So yeah, it was so very cheesy to me, and I just...
Could you follow along with the story okay?
You know, well enough, but still not quite. It seemed very much like, these guys randomly crashed on this planet, and then Khan shows up, and they say, oh, what are you doing here? And he's like, oh, I was here, so such and such, and just a lot of backstory that was sort of heavy-handed.
Yeah.
But,
I like the Klingon in the new movie. I like listening to it. You know, it's such a big thing with Star Trek nerds, Trekkies, that I thought it was kind of interesting listening to it.
By the way, one of the fun things that we have with this remote recording is that we only have a certain amount of space left that we can record for. So, Kevin, you have 4 minutes and 45 seconds left. Go.
That's totally enough time. I did not go in the same way as Kyle. He had high expectations. I did not. When we saw the first movie, we saw it with our dad just because he wanted to see it. He actually watched Star Trek, which I had no idea about. And so I just went along, like, whenever I watched this movie with him. And it didn't do it for me, you know? It's like, it's Star Trek. I don't know about the story. it just wasn't that good. And then he wanted to see this one, and I thought, okay, fine, I'll go. And, you know, I didn't care about it, so I went in not thinking it was going to be too great. And it blew me away. During the movie, I actually turned to him and said, this is so awesome, I'm loving this. And it also helped that right before I had an amazing lunch where we got free lollipops that I took in the movie theater and we all ate. The movie was so good, yes. Benedict Cumberbatch's amazingness, I'd never seen him really before. And his amazingness made me watch Sherlock, right? Also knowing that
this actor,
he had done that with Martin Freeman.
This actor is awesome.
He has the coolest voice. In Star Trek, he managed to make his voice even cooler. I don't know exactly, but he's just got an amazing voice. It's up there with Charles Dance.
It's basically
who plays Tywin.
Snape times better.
Yeah, it's,
that's his voice.
It's awesome.
Not as annoying.
He would have been a good alternate Snape.
It's not like nasally.
He does a Snape impression
as Alan Rickman. It's not as nasally. It's deep and soothing and fun. Because he's not like this angry, screamy villain. He's like, you know,
he's very understated.
Yeah.
Anyway,
but not he's not like emotionless.
This movie blew me away. I also give it a 9 out of 10, or 4.5 out of 5.
Yeah, I would be in the same.
It was so good. I
give it a
to someone who also
4.5.
Not as much as Lane. I'm not that big of a Star Wars nerd and that much against Star Trek. I was kind of against Star Trek, but now I'm not. Like, this movie, I think with all of us, changed our perspective. Also, it gives us a good look at how Abrams is going to be with Star Wars, and now I got high expectations for Star Wars. And I'm looking forward to it even more.
Alrighty. So, that concludes this giant podcast here. We've talked about E3.
See, we just did a podcast.
Apple.
Yet, we didn't get to the movie reviews, and then E3 happened, so we had to do this.
Yeah. So, again, if you want to contact us, let us know about, hey, what did you think of all these movies? What did you think about E3? Kyle, what's the question of the week?
The question of the week is, does Kevin have a man crush on Benedict Cumberbatch? And the answer is yes.
No. I have a man crush on, what's his name?
Charles
Bradley
Dance.
Cooper.
Oh, him.
Oh, wow. Kevin.
No. Not his sexiness, his acting. I want him to be in my movies.
All right, so email in thomasproinc@gmail.com, 208-474-2690, if that even exists. We'll find out if you call.
Maybe they have been calling.
Yeah.
Let us know if you called and we didn't, like...
I think you said that last time, too.
Yeah, we'll do it.
We say it every time. Okay, so thank you. I'm Lane.
I'm Kyle. Oh, you know what? New question of the week. Who's your man crush? Or a woman crush if you're a girl? I'm Kyle.
I'm Kevin.
And good night.
Thanks for listening to the TP Cast. If you like the show or hate it with your guts, please let us know by sending us an email at thomasproinc@gmail.com, subject line podcast. Or leave us a voicemail at 208-474-2690.
If you would like to find out more about this podcast or about Thomas Productions, please visit our website at thomasproductionsinc.com.
You can also follow our production updates on Facebook and Twitter at facebook.com/thomasproductions and twitter.com/thomasproinc. Please note that all non-original content featured in this podcast is the sole property of their respectful owners. On the other hand, all original content featured in this podcast is the sole property of Thomas Productions, Inc. It should also be noted that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of Thomas Productions, Inc. Although, let's face it, they usually do. Once again, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on The TP Cast.
Okay, we need something afterwards. What are we gonna do?
You wanna pause that?
No, no. We gotta decide right now. We got 36 seconds left.
Okay.
I'm thinking like we'll just say something funny and then we'll just end it abruptly and that'll be good.
How about we say, hey, guess what? Our next movie's
Kyle, why would you say something like that?
Well, they're going to find that eventually.
You're giving it all away.
What if we just tell people that... Okay, JC, just...
No, we got 5 seconds left. We got to go with it now.
Hey!